You know what that does for my ego, don't you? Thank you very much. I'll have to confess the sin of pride for a little while today. So I'm Coach Bob, as you all heard, and there's Coach Wayne. He is the coach on our team with the best hair. Amen. And Coach Jake is somewhere, and there you are. And we call ourselves coaches because our job is to coach you, and your job is to be the players on the field. A few years ago, I read that the coach is never the superstar of the team. The coach helps the superstar to be the superstar. And so in our church culture, we have made pastors into superstars. And we believe and we are committed to the fact that that's not who we're going to be. You're going to be the superstars, and we're going to help you do it. Why are we doing that? We're doing that because there is a world that can only be reached by you. You're the only ones who can make a difference. And so we like the title coach, and that's why we do it. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about mentoring. And so today is my Sunday, and next week Wayne is going to be present, and Jake will be the third Sunday. Wayne and Jake are going to have some people to interview. And I would have had some people to interview had I been more diligent, but the guy I was going to interview had a previous commitment because I got to him too late. So full confession of my sins. You all can pray with me later and ask God to forgive me, all right? So I'm sitting down, and I'm going to sit down for some of this because some of what I have to say is going to be hard. And I'm a big guy, and when I speak big, I don't want you to think I'm angry with you. But as a coach, you some have to tell people to do things that they don't want to do so they can get what they want to get, all right? So I'm going to say some things in this service that I really want you to take seriously. I don't want you to think this is just a ranting of some Baptist preacher. Your future joy as a Christian has something to do with your obeying what I'm going to talk about. I heard a whistle. That's amen. You're right. So let's talk about it. So what's a mentor? First of all, here's some definitions. A mentor is a trusted counselor, a guide, a wise and trusted counselor, a teacher, an experienced and trusted advisor. All three definitions have that word what? Trust. So if you can't be trusted, you can't be a mentor. All right? The second thing is there's some things in here. There is wise and there's experience. And so some of us have experience, and because we have experience, we have some wisdom that other people don't have. And so that wisdom, that experience, that being able to be trusted allows us to be a guide. And we call those guides today mentors. So who can be a mentor? Just about everybody in this room could be. You could be a mentor in your 12-step group, AANA. We got a lot of folks here. It's a great place, a tremendous, ready-made place. You call it a sponsor, all right? You have that. You can be, obviously, a mentor here at church. You can start with the little children, and you can coach them like they do. And the little munchkins, I went down last week and did a video. Danny and Becca had their little kids, and the other leaders in the group had their kids doing a Jesus cheer. And those kids will remember that Jesus cheer throughout life. You can start there, and you can go all the way up to the older people in our church, folks like me. And so you can be involved in Wednesday nights. You can be involved on Sunday mornings. That's a place. You can be a mentor at work. One of the best mentors is a boss that loves Jesus and has a plan. Barry Tarwater is here in the early service. Barry is a guy that's usually handing out bulletins in the back of the service. Barry used to be called Scary Barry when he lived down on Independence Avenue. He lived in a little dinky apartment down there, and he weighed so much and looked so bad that when he showed his driver's license at the driver's license bureau, they said, "That's not you." And he said, "Oh, yeah, it is me." But something happened. What happened? He went in one day. His boss called him into work. He got 25 years of working at the same vinegar plant, which is a big deal. And so Barry came in there, and the boss sat down and said, "Barry, have you ever thought about going to church?" And that was all it took. And Barry went to a church, and he met Jesus, and he gave up his years and years and years of drinking beer, and he drank lots of beer. I mean, all of his paycheck went to fill his body full of beer. and God restored his sanity. He's one of our wonderful, trusted friends. He buys birthday gifts for nearly everybody in the church, works overtime so he can buy gifts. That's a mentor, a boss who came in and had enough foresight to say, how about going to church? By the way, this popped in my head. Lester, stand up, please. Talk about years. That guy just celebrated 2 years of sobriety. Amen. Amen. So Barry's got 25 years, and you got two, and we got a lot of others in it. Just say thank God for that. So mentors, that's the fun stuff. We all can do that in some way. Look for ways that you could be a mentor. Now, that's the fun stuff. I'm going to pull up my stool, and I'm going to have a little heart-to-heart talk with you. All right? When mentors do not do their job, the country, the nation, the people suffer. And so in the book of Ezekiel, God had a tragic message to a broken nation. And one of the biggest issues, they had some issues, but one of their biggest issues is people who had been called to lead, to guide, to be trusted, weren't doing their job. And so I'm going to have to stand up to read it, but I'm going to sit down to talk about it. You ready? Ezekiel 34 says, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and severity, you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field, and they were scattered. Now, that's a tragic situation, and I'm going to talk to you about that for a minute. The people who had the wisdom, the people who had the experience, the people who were given gifts by God to lead other people and to help other people in the fullness of life, took their gifts and took their talents and took their experience and said, it's all about me. I'm concerned about feeding my own self. I'm concerned about my own prosperity. I'm concerned about my own well-being. I'm concerned about that little small circle of friends that are around me, and I don't care about the others, and I'm not going to reach out to them. And so the result was there were people who were devoured by them. And I'm not going to take time to get into systems of our world that we have, but we have systems in this world that, according to the psalm writer, they eat people up like we eat bread. And you think about people who are just distraught because of this world system, and that's part of it. But not only that, those leaders who were feeding themselves didn't go out and bind up the wounds of other people. They didn't have time for other people. And they didn't go out and search for the lost. They just let the lost take care of themselves. But the result was is that people were hurt and injured, and they became victims of a society that was leaderless. Victims of a society that was leaderless. Now, that's a pretty negative place to be. Jesus presents us a magnificent option to that. He has a way of thinking that is different from that. And here's what he says, and we're very familiar with it, but I don't want you to miss the truth of it, all right? So this is one of our key verses at Maywood, and I'm going to skip that verse because I've already talked. Jesus said to us, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's just talk. This is a verse that many at Maywood know because we talk about it frequently. These are the words of Jesus after he has been crucified, raised from the dead, and he is getting ready to be ascended into heaven. And so he is saying to his people, make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who learns how to live life like Jesus lived his life. So a lot of us can talk about how we broke our lives by living life like the world tells us to live. You know, we've all got some experience there. Jesus presents us an alternative. He says, let me model for you and let me tell you how best to live life. And so a disciple is someone who says, Jesus, you're the wisest man who ever walked on the face of the earth. I'm going to learn from you. I don't know Warren Buffett, and Warren Buffett certainly doesn't know me. Warren Buffett's this guy that lives up somewhere in the Midwest, and he's got multitudes of money. And so if Warren Buffett called me up one day and said, Bob, I'd like to take your savings and show you how to make it work, I'll be on a plane. I'll be right up there, sir. You know, right? Huh? Well, we don't probably have an opportunity to meet with Warren Buffett, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is wiser than any financial person on earth, who knows more about life than anybody possible, invites us to learn from him. That's a great deal, isn't it? And so we ought to take advantage of it. We just had a baptism, and those of you who are baptized, I think you got all the way wet, didn't you? Okay. Last week, Danny and I, we didn't quite get his daughter all the way down there, but he kind of fixed it up by putting a little water on her head. That's what baptism is. Baptized means to be immersed. And so to be immersed in water before people is one of the commands we've been given. But there's more to it than just getting wet in water. And by the way, that's really good. I don't get me wrong. But the real is getting wet fully in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To be immersed in their life.